Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
I'm excited about what God's doing in this nation. And the church is coming alive all over the country, all over the nation in a new way. Yesterday, I spent, Phil and myself, Phil Pooley and me, we went up to just most of the day yesterday up at the Hillsong European Conference in up in London. And there's loads of guys there that are leading churches around this country in Europe that we're kind of just developing some friendships with. And God is doing something new in this nation. He really is reviving the church. And there is a new sound that's coming out of the church in this nation. A lot of churches you wouldn't necessarily have heard of, different networks or streams of churches or whatever, but it doesn't matter whether we've heard of them or not, whether they've heard of us. It's what God is doing that is the most important thing. And God is building relationships and connecting leaders in a new way around this nation, and as well as across Europe. But there's a new sound that is coming from the church in this nation. And in order for that new sound to come out, people are having to make some very definite decisions to make sure that the sound of what God is doing is not what has been, but what God is doing now and how he's moving things forward. What do I mean by the sound? It's not just the sound of the music. It's the sound of God in the people of God. What does that sound like now in 2010, 2011 and the coming years? And, you know, the sound comes from what is happening on the inside of you. The sound comes from the revelation of God that you have. The sound comes from the convictions of who God is and of his word. And then you have to line up all your thinking around what God is speaking, what God is doing. And then there's a sound that comes from your life, which is the sound of God at work in you. And, you know, over the last few years as Kingdom Faith, we've had to make certain decisions. We, you know, change certain expressions and the way we go about doing things. It's not just about the way you do things, but that is connected to what God is doing. Because in each generation of time, God will express himself in a way that is relevant for that generation of time. And so the sound, if you like, is the sound of God in that generation of time. And, you know, as a church, we've got to continue to really make choices every day as we advance in the things of God. And we've had a lot in the last period of time about possessing the land, possessing everything that God has spoken, the promises of God, and that he's beginning to fulfill those in a new way. And, you know, but on that journey or on that walk, we need to constantly make choices every day to walk in what God is saying and what he is doing. Because if we don't intentionally do that, then if you're not careful, you can default back to something, the way you've done something, the way you think, or whatever, without realizing it. And God is resetting. I'm not just saying he's going to reset some, he's resetting defaults so that we, you know, have a different set of defaults. But there is an element of God is resetting the compass in who we are as a church, so that we don't go back to an old setting in any way. And what I mean by that is thinking or ways of doing certain things, or there's only one way that leads to God's purposes. You know, God can express himself through a people in a way that is relevant in each generation of time. But it starts with the sound of what is happening on the inside of us. What happens in God is not dictated by the sound of something out here. There's loads of sounds on the outsides of our lives that, you know, whether other people are those sounds or society or laws or other belief systems, philosophies. There's loads of sounds out there. But the sound that determines how we live and move as a people is determined by what happens on the inside of you. It's the sound of God on the inside of who we are that determines the sound that comes out. And that sound, you know, in this season of time, I believe, comes out in freedom, comes out with joy. It comes out with, if we use the word faith, but with such an optimism, with such a positive outlook, because that's the sound of God. God is not pessimistic in his outlook. God is very, very positive because he knows the outcome and he knows what he is doing. And so as a body of people, whether individually or together, you know, the future is really bright. The future is really positive. The future is only onwards and upwards in God, because that's the only way that he leads us as his people, forwards and upwards. There's no such thing as reverse in God's kingdom. There's no such thing as even going sideways. There's only forwards and upwards in the things of God. And so the days ahead of us are exciting. The days ahead of us are going to be full of joy. The days ahead of us are full of freedom. The days ahead are full of hope, not just for ourselves. It's important that we live in that freedom and that hope and that joy, absolutely. But it's all the lives as we move forward that continue to be impacted by people of freedom, by people of joy, by people who are, say, full of faith, who are so optimistic, so hopeful about life and the way things are going forward. And so as a body of people, if we live in that way, what do we have? It means we have a culture, or we have a life, a context of freedom. We have an environment of hope. We have an environment of optimism. It's like, why? Because if that's the sound on the inside of us, because of the sound that there is in God on the inside of us, then that's the environment that we have. Whether it's in our homes, whether it's when we come together on a Sunday, whether it is in another expression of church life during the week, whatever context it is, if that sound of freedom and hope and joy and love or whatever is at work on the inside of us, then that sound's going to resonate amongst us. It's going to resonate through us. And that kind of sound is contagious. That kind of sound is attractive. That kind of sound people want in their lives, because actually deep calls to deep. And you know as well as I do, it's not just words that capture people these days. It's the sound of our lives that actually deep calls to deep. So what is going on in the depth of your life and my life? There's a depth to that. There's a sound of that that actually resonates with other people. And they kind of pick up something about us, because it's not mind to mind. It's deep calls to deep. And for many people in the depths of their lives, there's many questions. And you know, when there's a people where in the depth of their lives, they're like, I'm free. I am forgiven. I have such a hope about life. I'm so optimistic, as in, let's say, you know, full of faith. But my outlook is so positive because of what God has done, because of who he is. I am free. I have hope that the future is bright or whatever. And when that is something that is a resonation inside of you, it's alive, it's real, it's in the depth of who you are, there's the sound of that that then comes across to other people's lives at work or in a social setting or wherever it is that we're doing life. I think that's exciting. We're in incredible days, not just ourselves, but every church that really wants to seek to be alive in the things of God and wants to really reach a whole generation of people in a fresh way in this nation. And there's a sound that God is releasing to capture the ear of this generation of people. It's not just about young people, because everybody that is alive is being affected by the sound of society, by the sound of fear, by the sound of pain, by the sound of what people are going through. And there's a sound that God is wanting to resonate and bring through the church in the nation that is a different sound than the nation knows itself. And the sound of God, it is attractive, because it's freedom, it's joy, it's hope, It is full of optimism. It doesn't say we don't deal with the realities of life, but we just deal with them from a very different direction and perspective than most people. But as we deal with that, there's a sound. It's not just the way we do something, it's the sound of our lives, individually, but then together. It's awesome. And just meeting some of the guys that I know yesterday from around the country and just chatting with them and what's happening with them, you know, it's exciting what God is doing. People are getting saved all over the place. There's miracles happening all over the place. You know, we see lots of people healed and cancers sorted and all that. I'll tell you, that's happening all over the place. There's loads of great stories of what God is doing. It might not get all on the news, but, you know, sometimes before something really erupts and everybody can see it, you know, in an ocean, there's the strength of the current under the surface. And you see the movement on the top, or you see the waves rising or whatever, but there's a power at work underneath that you might not see a lot of the time. But there comes a point where, especially when it comes to the shoreline, the power of the waves hitting the rocks, the power, that's to do with the power that is at work that is not necessarily seen. And God is just doing something in this nation, in the church, where there's a power at work in the body of Christ at the moment. Yes, there's some evidence of that. Church is growing, people getting saved and miracles happening. But, you know, there's just the sound of something just stirring. Leaders are relating, connecting in another level than they have been over the last 5 or 10 years. There's less competition and what's going on here. And it's more like, hey, mate, how's it going with you? How's it going with you? Oh, that's brilliant. You know, we've been praying for you as a church. We've been praying for you. We've been looking on the internet and seeing what's happening with you. We've been following you on Facebook. Or we've been doing this because we want to champion what God is doing where you are. There's something different. Why? Because there's a different sound on the inside of people now. So it's not just about what's happening there or what's happening here. God is doing things all over the place. And somehow in his wisdom, he's going to join these things somehow together. It doesn't mean everybody works together. But there's the kingdom of God, which is bigger than the church. It's God's kingdom purposes that he is outworking in this nation. And we are just a small part of his big kingdom purposes around the nation. But it's exciting what God is doing. I think it's brilliant what he's doing. And we need to be so full of thanksgiving for what God's doing. But at the same time, we know there's so much more as well. That we're not satisfied with just what is happening, but we are full of thanks for what is going on. But at the same time, there's a hunger to see God do more and more and more. So just for a few minutes, we're gonna just talk about the power of choice. Is that okay? So if you just want to turn to Exodus 17 for a minute. The power of choice. I'm just going to look at this for a few minutes. Because your choices position you for what God wants to do. The choices that you make and I make, our choices position us for God to work through our lives. Just while you're turning there, I just want to read something from Genesis 1, or you might want to turn there first. I love these few verses in Genesis 1, verse 27. It says here, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So you've been made in the image of God. That's pretty cool. Then what does it say? It says, God blessed them. So you are blessed. It says God blessed them. So you're blessed. What does blessed mean? It means more than, it means happy, but it means a bit more than happy. I mean, it means joyful, which is a kind of deeper expression of happiness. But also blessed is to do with favor. And so when God says he blessed them, he says, my favor is upon you. Now, when God's favor is upon you, man, your outlook is great. Today's going to be great. Tomorrow's going to be great. Yes, we face challenges, but with the favor of God in our lives, we meet them in a different way. And so he says that we're created in his image, male and female, he created them. So he says, God blessed them. His favor was upon them. His favor is upon us. Then he said, with that favor, with my blessing, with my hand upon your life, he then says, be fruitful. So God's DNA now is being described. So he's describing now what it means to be created in his image. So it says we are created in his image. We are, as it says there, then his favour is upon us, but then he describes his nature. Because he's only going to do who he is in us. If you understand that. It's not just about what God says, it's who he is in us that God does. I don't know if that's rubbish English or not, but if you can understand what I'm saying. So firstly, the nature of God is to be fruitful. Being fruitful is producing. And so God, because he is alive, he's living and active, he is always bearing fruit. That's the nature of God, to be fruitful. God is always in fruitful season. God doesn't have an in and out of season. He only has a fruitful season. And so God is fruitful all the time because his nature is to produce after himself, after his own kind. And this is the amazing thing for us as people, that he says, I want you to produce after my kind, after myself. So I'm going to create you in my image. I'm going to create you to be like I am. And my favor is going to be upon you. And because of my favor, you're going to produce after your own kind. And your kind is not yourself now. Your own kind is me in you. So you're going to produce who I am in your life. So initially God says, be fruitful. So that's one of the initial DNAs of God that is written on the inside of you now, is to be a fruitful person, is to produce what is on the inside of you, the life of God, the life of Jesus on the inside of you. Then from fruitfulness, God doesn't just want to stop there. He doesn't just say, I want you to produce fruit. He then says, increase. So he says, I want to increase that fruit. I don't just want you to bear fruit that's going to for a season or a little bit here and there, but there's also increase. Why? Because God is always increasing. Amen. We can't measure God. God is immeasurable, the word says. So if God is immeasurable, then he is always increasing what he is doing. How do we know that? Because the word says his kingdom is forcefully advancing. His kingdom is always increasing, always growing, always extending. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God grows in you, but it's extended through you. So we know that the kingdom is like a seed that is put on the inside of us, kingdom life, and that seed grows. So the kingdom life grows in you, but God's kingdom is extended through you. And so part of God's nature here, as we're created in his image, it says here, is that we are blessed. His favor is upon us. I think it's awesome. The favor of God is upon your life. Man, I'd rather have the favor of God than anybody else's favor. But you know, when you walk in the favor of God, you also then get the favor of men. So sometimes, you know, it's not, oh, this person's coming against me. It's like, well, Father, your hand of favor is upon my life. So I thank you that because your favor is upon my life, that means you can turn somebody's attitude, turn somebody's heart, you know, whatever circumstance it might be. And instead, your favor is not just going to be from you, but also there's going to be favor from men. So opportunities are going to open up. Things are going to happen because your favor's on me. Therefore, things change around my life so that I can then walk in your favor and also have the favor of men. So men then turn around and make decisions that are geared around my life because the favor of God is upon me rather than making decisions about their life, wanting to be, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because of the favor of God. So he says, fruitful, I want you to be fruitful. Then he says, increase, that's expansion, that's growth here. Then he says, fill the earth, that's the increase side. And in another translation, it talks about multiplying. So there's different levels of God's life being produced in us here. We're blessed to start with. You're favored. Then the word says, we're fruitful because we've got God's nature. So all the word is doing is describing the nature of God that is on the inside of you. His nature is to produce fruit. Therefore, the nature of Christ in you is to be fruitful. How many of you know that you don't have to try and produce fruit? He puts the seeds in the ground, you water it, put it in the right soil, water it, and look after it in that way, and it's just going to produce fruit. It doesn't matter how much you shout at it, how much you scream at it, how much you whisper to it, how much you go there, there, there. It doesn't matter what you do, it's going to grow anyway. Why? Because it's in the right soil and it's been watered with the right liquid. See, God's put himself on the inside of us. So the soil's there. The seed's in the soil. And it just needs watering. How do you water the seed? The word, right? But it's actually the power of choice that determines how you water that seed. You see, the word obviously is living and active, and it's the word that is the seed and all of that of the kingdom that is within you. But it's the power, it's the choices that you and me make every day that determine whether that seed is watered to be fruitful or to increase or to multiply. And ultimately, it says there to subdue and rule and reign. That's awesome. And so the power of choice daily will determine whether we're fruitful, whether we increase, whether we multiply, whether we rule and reign and subdue everything going on. Let's just have a look at Exodus 17, okay? We've just got that in place. We're going to be finished by 12 o'clock today. Is that all right? You don't believe me, do you? We are going to be finished by 12 o'clock today. You're going to be out in the hub in less than 15 minutes. Is that all right? Jane's kind of like, finished now. But I'm like, no. Okay, let's have a look. Yeah, my watch says 9:30, so I've got 2.5 hours to go yet. Okay, let's have a quick look. This is where the Israelites were being attacked by the Amalekites, a bunch of guys that didn't like them. And Moses says to Joshua, he says, choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Moses' hands grew tired. They took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And then they built an altar, and representing the Lord is our banner, our victory, the one who gives us, enables us to overcome. And we're gonna, God deals with their opposition from one generation to the next. So it was a pretty awesome victory. It wasn't just a skirmish they won. They won a victory for generations. Come on. And now the power of choice. Here's Joshua. And there's Moses. And Moses says to this guy one day, he says, right, choose some of our men. He didn't just say, choose some of your men. He said, come. He said, choose some of our men. Now, Moses' role in this situation was to stand on the hill, have his arms raised as the leader. And Ben Ben, I was going to call him Ben Hur then. Aaron and Hur. Her being a bloke, not a her, female, H-U-R. They held Moses' arms up when he got tired or whatever. But it was Joshua that was chosen to go down and actually see the victory take place. Now, why did Moses choose Joshua? It was because of the choices that Joshua had already made that positioned him at that moment to be the person that Moses then said, hey, Joshua, you get some of our men that have also made the same choices as you. And you go down and I'm just going to stand here and do this. And you go down and get a victory. Now, for Joshua, what had he done? Whenever they camped, most of us will know this, whenever they camped somewhere, the Israelites, they would set up a tent, and they called it a tent of meeting or the tabernacle, and they put the tabernacle in it. But they set this tent of meeting up, and whenever Moses would inquire of the Lord or go and pray, he would go into the tent of meeting, the pillar of cloud would come upon the tent, the presence of God, and it says that Moses would meet with him face to face. But it also said that Joshua was always in that tent, and whenever Moses left, Joshua stayed there. And there were a number of reasons why he stayed there. One, to guard it, to make sure people didn't go in there that weren't supposed to go in there, when they shouldn't have gone in there. Two, it was to make sure that everything was ready in there, so that whenever Moses came in, it was ready for Moses to encounter God. But there was something about Joshua that was obviously going on in his life. He wanted not just to be around Moses. He didn't just want to be around what God was doing. He wanted to be right at the heart of what God was doing. He wanted the sound of God to be resonating in his life. And so he wanted to be where the presence of God was. So he made choices in his life. I could be off with my mates hanging out, practicing my sling or whatever they did then. I don't know. Back then, they didn't have all the stuff we do to entertain us or whatever. But he made choices. I want to be around the presence of God. He cultivated the sound of God in his life. He cultivated the sound of God in his life. The presence of God in his life, so that when Moses needed somebody, we need somebody who's got the sound of what God is doing in their life to go onto the front line, as it were, to see a victory. But this victory is not just for a skirmish. We're looking for people with this sound that are going to see something happen that's going to affect generations of people. Because that's what God is doing now. There's a generation of people at stake in our nation. Whether they're 13, whether they're 35 or 65, there might be different generations in age, but there is a generation of people alive now in this nation. And there is a whole destiny at stake at this time for this generation. In Daniel chapter 1, we're going to finish with this. And in Daniel chapter 1, why finish in so early? Why not? So, how many of you want to go on to 1:15? Nobody, there you go. That's the first vote we've ever had in this church. Okay. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and some of the other young Israelite or Jewish young men, whether they're royalty or nobility, whatever, they get taken into slavery in Babylon. You know, the Babylonians attack Jerusalem, ransack it, and take a load of guys into slavery. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, very, very wise in his thinking. He's like, right, I want my kingdom to last for a long time. So we need to get hold of some younger guys and we need to train them in our philosophy, in our thinking, in our lifestyle, in our culture, so that they become just like us, so that we then are going to have a kingdom that's not just going to run out in his generation, but he can pass it on to the next one who are going to carry on. And so he's thinking, if we can get these young guys and educate them, get rid of all their education they've had, get rid of all of what they believe, change their identity, give them different names, train them for 3 years. Interesting how it does take 3 years to change a culture. It seems to take 3 years to change somebody's mindset so they completely live in a different way and begin to then do the same with other people. There seems to be cycles of 3 years. If you do the same job for 3 years without any change or advancement, you start shutting down. There seems to be a thing about 3 years. So this guy says, we can train these guys for 3 years, our kingdom will advance. Now here's Daniel with his three friends, amongst a whole bunch of Jewish guys. And in the middle of all of that, he decides, I don't want to be re-educated. I don't want to have a different identity. I don't want to become a different person. I need to be who God has called me to be. But he'd made a decision when he was still in Jerusalem as to how the intention of his heart and how he was going to set himself no matter what was going to come his way. It wasn't that the pressure of the moment determined his decision. And what am I going to do? Under pressure, you'd probably give way if you haven't already set your heart and your life in a certain direction. So while he was still in Jerusalem, he determined in his heart, no matter what happens to me in my life, I'm going to serve God. Amen. And so when the pressure was on him, when he was in Babylon, and they said, we're going to change your identity, change your thinking, we're going to change the way you do life, He was like, actually, no, I'm not going to let this change me from what I've got on the inside. I've got a sound on the inside. That's the thing I'm going to live by. It's the sound of God. I'm not going to have the sound of something else affecting my life. And it started with one choice, one decision. He said, look, to the chief official in the king's palace, he said, look, I'm really, mate, I can't eat that food and that wine. In and of itself, nothing wrong with a nice bit of food and a nice bottle of wine. But it's what it represented. And at that moment, before any of that food was taken to the king's table, it would have been given or at least part of a ritual or a sacrifice towards their gods. And then they served the food on the king's table. So it's what had been done to it, what it represented, that Daniel said, I'm not going to give myself to that because of what it represents. He said, I want to keep my heart clean. I want to keep my spirit or my life clean. So I'm not going to eat and drink that. So he said, can we just have vegetables and water? There's a bit of denying self here. There's a little bit of denying here. I'd like a nice bit of cake and custard and, you know, or whatever. But actually, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to deny that because there's something bigger. There's something beyond the moment. There's something higher to live for than just whether I'm going to fit into this new culture. It's interesting, you know, as he made that decision, the favour of God was upon him, and the chief official, although he could have faced punishment from the king, because of the favour of God on Daniel, making that one choice to say, right, I'm going to walk with God here, the favour of God then came not just on Daniel, but the favour of God hit that chief official. He changed his mind and said, okay, you can just have vegetables and water. Now, it wasn't an easy decision because there were loads of other Jewish young guys at the time, but they were probably pretty upset with Daniel that suddenly they weren't going to eat this nice food, nice wine. They wouldn't have been living in prison cells. They'd have been living in nice accommodation. If they've taken a load of guys into slavery and they want to retrain them in their Babylonian ways to then represent their kingdom, they're not going to give them a hard time, because if they do, the Jewish lads are going to turn around and go, well, stuff you. If you're going to treat us like slaves and put us in prison, we're not going to learn anything. So they put them in a nice environment, 5-star, 6-star luxury accommodation, all the nice choice food and wine that the king eats, because they wanted to soften them up, mellow them out, just do a little bit of, you know, let's just kind of compromise a bit and come and join us. And, you know, it's not too bad. It's a nice lifestyle. It's a nice way of living. But yet most of these guys went with it because they didn't have the sound happening on the inside of them. Whereas only 4 lads, Daniel being one of them, said, we got the sound of something more than that going on inside. We're living for something more than what the society can give us, what the culture of the day can entice us with. So we're making choices to set ourselves with the sound of God in our lives. And then as a result of that, the favour of God, the chief official saw that he was... I saw my wife look at her watch then. And the chief official saw... Thanks, mate. That they were well-nourished. They looked better and everything after 10 days. So then they took all of the nice stuff away from all the other guys. Now, that probably didn't go down well either. But what happened to Daniel? They had many times as much wisdom and understanding as all the other guys. They then began to interpret dreams. The next thing, Daniel's the prime minister of a totally godless nation. You see, he made a choice in Jerusalem when there was no pressure. When the pressure came, he still made the same choice. It was one choice over a bit of food and wine. It wasn't a massive thing. It wasn't a whacking great sin that we see things. It wasn't killing somebody. It wasn't committing adultery with somebody. It wasn't frauding somebody out of finance. It wasn't doing something that we would say, man, that was awful. It was just this one choice at the beginning saying, I'm not going to give any part of myself to what doesn't represent the sound of God in my life. And one thing went to another, and the next thing, he's running the country. That's the power of choice. That's the power of choice that then positions your life and my life for God to work through us and turn situations around, turn people around, turn things around, because it's the sound of God with the favour of God upon our lives. It's awesome. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Can we just quickly have Chad, can you just come up, mate? And thank you, Jesus. Don't play something nice. Play something a bit more funky, groovy, a little kind of riffy thing. Is that all right? It doesn't have to be fast, but just something a little bit more. Is that all right? Okay. Is that all right? I don't want anybody to close their eyes when they're going to pray now. We're going to open our eyes, okay? Keep our eyes open while we're praying. Can you play something bluesy or something? Yeah. Yeah, that'll do. Okay. Lovely. Now, why am I doing that? Because you won't mind staying an extra couple of minutes. If he started doing the other stuff, you'd be like, oh, here we go, you know, so that's kind of thing. Now, what are we talking about this morning? What's the overall theme at the moment? It's advancement. And it's taking possession of everything that God has promised in our lives. One way of doing that is the power of choice, okay? You're not a victim. You are not a victim. The DNA we described at the beginning is not a victim's DNA. You have a different DNA on the inside of you. It's one of fruitfulness. It's one of increase. It's one of multiplication. It's one that rules and reigns. It's one that only knows how to move forward. That's what you have on the inside of you today. So we're just going to make some choices today, all right? It's not to do with how you feel and whether there's a nice atmosphere for responding. It's right, I'm going to make a choice today. This week is going to be awesome. You just need to make a decision. This week is going to be awesome, right? Why? Because God is awesome. If He is awesome and He's on the inside of you, this week can be awesome, all right? You might have some challenges, but you'll meet them in a different way if you meet them with God is awesome. You don't meet them with your feelings, you meet them with Him, the truth, the victor, or whatever, for the situations. Are you ready? So just stand there. Father, I'm making some choices right now that today is going to be an awesome day. This week is going to be an awesome week. Now just thank Him. Thank Him that you're blessed. Just thank Him that His favor is upon you right now. Thank Him that this week is a week of fruit bearing in your life. The fruitfulness of God is going to be happening on the inside of you this week. Fruitful attitudes, fruitful thinking, fruitful desires, fruitful longings. The desires of your life this week are going to lead to fruitfulness. Now just thank the Lord that He doesn't just want you to be fruitful, that He's called you to increase right now. He's called you to multiply. That this week is not about just your life being fruitful, but other lives being affected, because there's an increase happening in you, so others are going to get the benefit of that this week. Whether it's somebody in the church, whether it's somebody who's not born again yet, whoever it might be, your life is a life this week because of the choices you make with the favor of God on your life that's going to turn situations around, circumstances around, because you're coming with freedom, you're coming with joy, you're coming with hope, you're coming with such amazing optimism this week. Come on, give God a great shout. Okay, now, just before we finish, there might be some people here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you've never responded to Him. And, you know, being a Christian, knowing Jesus is the most amazing life you can have. That doesn't mean it's easy, because everybody faces the challenges of life. But, you know, God has a plan and a purpose for every person's life. And when you know God, and that plan and purpose, because you know Him, kicks into action in your life, you meet the difficulties, the issues and the circumstances of life in a completely different way. Because you're not trying to deal with life in your own strength. You're now walking out a plan and purpose that God has for your life. And God's plan and purpose for your life is what we read in the Bible at the beginning of the message today, that He wants you to be a blessed person. Somebody who's got a joy deep within you that nobody can take away. You got a hope and a destiny that nobody can take away. You've got such an optimism about life that nobody can take away. Why? Because when you have God in you, you join with the destiny that you were created to have in your life, which is to know Jesus. And so God has done something awesome to enable us to know Him. Because in and of ourselves, none of us in the room, doesn't matter who we are, whether you're listening on the internet, none of us are good enough in our own efforts to reach God or to be godly. Only God can do that. And the amazing thing is, God didn't say, come up to me. He said, I'm going to come down to you. And so Jesus came, lived on the earth, lived a perfect life, which is awesome. But then he went to the cross. And on the cross, the Bible says he took every sin, everything that separates us from God, he took that on himself and said, I'll take the consequences of that. Because the consequences of sin in our life is to be separated from God. That's forever. And so Jesus said, I don't want that to be a consequence for them. I'll take that on myself, the punishment, the consequence of sin, so that it's possible for every person to be forgiven and to know God. I think that's pretty awesome. What a good God. So this morning, I don't know if the people this morning here that you don't know Jesus, just going to give you a couple of moments with you to respond. Today could be your day where you're like, okay, this is the first step, and I want to begin to know Jesus. I want to know God in the way that has been sung about, talked about, and the whole feel of what is happening in this room. I want to know this God in the same way as all these other people do. And so if that's you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are. Just if you can just, somebody have it. Thanks, mate. Just put your hand down. Thanks. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Just going to pray for you guys. Anybody else this morning? Thank you. Anybody else? This is the first day of an amazing rest of your life. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? You say, I want to respond to God's initiating something in my life. I want to respond to God's goodness today. Anybody else? Okay. Those three that raise your hands, I just want to ask you to do something really bold. You can come with the person brought you. Can you just quickly come down to the front? Is that all right? Bring somebody with you. If you come with somebody. Yeah, just, yeah. How you doing, mate? What's your name?
Angel.
Angel. Good to meet you. No, how you doing? Yeah, come with me. Okay, brilliant. How you doing? Good to see you. Excellent. How you doing? What's your name?
Suzanne.
Brilliant. Okay. Just one. Okay, now we're going to pray. If you guys just come in here a minute. Brilliant. We're just going to really briefly pray. And then what we're going to do, these friends of yours that brought you, we're just going to have some other guys in the church just talk with you and pray with you afterwards. Is that okay? And but it'd be really good to pray because it's awesome when God comes into your life, because you meet the reason why you're alive. You meet the person who created you, who's given you life. Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. Well, wherever Marlene is, done an awesome job, so you can let her know what's happened to you afterwards. It's brilliant. Marlene's not here, but she's here somewhere. All right. Marlene, where are you? Wherever you are. Where are you? Marlene. Come on. Okay, we're just going to pray together. So what you're doing is you're surrendering your life to Jesus, or at least the initial step, saying, Jesus, I want to give you my life, and I want you to give me yours. Is that okay? Let's just pray. So you need, if you can talk to God, rather than just me praying and you kind of listen, you need to kind of just talk to God. That's praying. Is that okay? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. So if you guys just want to pray for a minute. Thank you, Jesus, for your incredible love. And I want to respond to you today. Firstly, I need you to forgive me for everything that has separated me from you. Forgive me for living my way. And I turn around from that now. I thank you that you forgive me. I thank you that you wipe the slate clean. And Jesus, I give you my life now. And in return, Jesus, I ask me to give me yours. God, fill me with who you are. Fill me with who you are. Jesus, I want to walk with you for the rest of my life. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for new freedom. And I thank you for such hope now for the rest of my days. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's really thank the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.